महाकाय सूर्य कोटि समप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देवा सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा गुरुर्ब्रह्मा गुरुर्विष्णुः गुरुर्देवो महेश्वरः गुरुदेव परं ब्रह्म तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। What does Brahman mean? What is the definition of Brahman? Now nobody's confident. Brahman means the biggest, infinite. Agreed? Okay. And Brahman's nature is Sat, Chit, Ananda. Existence, awareness, joy. Is there existence in this Contigo water bottle? Is there awareness? Is there joy? Okay. In the flowers here, plants, existence? Awareness? Here's where the Indian style came in. Joy? Okay, okay. The squirrels that are outside, existence, yes. Awareness, yes. Joy. Yes. See, if I look at you confusedly, you get confused too. Me, existence, yes. Awareness, yes. Yes. Joy, yes. Maybe. It's fascinating that you said that Brahman, whose nature is existence, awareness, joy, which is infinite, yet you said there's no awareness here, no joy here. You said that about the plants, the animals, the people. Our understanding, just in the simple example, shows a lack of clarity. There is awareness and joy here. The only difference is that this Contigo water bottle, I sound like I'm selling it, it flows so well, cannot express the awareness and the joy, but is present here. For you and I too, I had read that 90% of our driving is unconscious. We drive and we happen to arrive where we're supposed to, but our nature is awareness, we just don't express it, and most importantly is the joy part. Our nature is Ananda. We just don't have the clarity, the conviction, the confidence to express that. Finding your calling is realizing that you are infinite, that you are existence, which is obvious, but you're also awareness, and most importantly, you are joy. Now that seems quite the opposite to what I'm experiencing right now. I'm unconscious, I'm dependent. When we start to bring out our best, when we start to release our best slowly and steadily, that shows we're having more clarity, more conviction, more confidence towards our nature. You can't go from Jiva to Brahman like that. You can't go from zero to infinity like that. There's a slow and steady release of what we realized. Finding your calling. You go from avoiding to discovering to discovered to living your calling. Sanatana Dharma is most strong about evolution, not revolution. Revolution is external. Evolution is internal. When we realize that we are existence, awareness, joy, we will love who we are. Now give me a synonym for love. What's a synonym for love? Oneness. Advaita. Who do you love the most? You. You are at one with yourself. That is Advaita. When I bathed this morning, I didn't wash my right arm more than my left. This is me. I didn't brush my incisors more than my molars. That's all my mouth. So every time we use love, don't think romantic love. Don't think Gandharva love. Think Advaita. Think oneness. When you realize who you are, you will love who you are and you will love what you do. We don't love what we do, escapism, because we don't love who we are. And as long as we only see the body, mind, intellect, we will never love ourselves because it's too small. But the real development of love is finding this oneness. And this requires guidance. How many of you are Hindustani singers? Did you just learn that by yourself? You had a teacher, correct? Yesterday I heard that Geeta Aunty is a salad guru. Right? We have parents. We have teachers. We have coaches in every field. Physicians have a chief resident. Entrepreneurs have a mentor. And on and on and on. That's for an external subject, making salad, how to shoot a soccer ball. But when it comes to love, it requires guidance from a whole parampara, tradition of love. The Guru Shishya Parampara is also a parampara of love. How much that guru loves the Shishya, for them to want the Shishya to be like them. And that's carried on from Bhagavan Rama, all the way to who's in front of us, in whatever direction. That's the guidance we need. Hence, we're studying I Love You letters. When we think of love letters, we think of Bollywood, you know, this girl's family doesn't want this boy's family to get involved. So, or we think of even Rukmini Devi with Bhagavan Krishna. These I Love You letters are to yourself. So many of you, I've told that you should date yourself. Right? We date so many people. Our boss, our neighbor. But do you date yourself? Hence, vasana for vivikta. Dating yourself is cheap. It's easy to plan. And there's way more love also. Yesterday in our first shloka, we studied. I'm going to go through high-level message, the low-level message, and sadhana. High-level message is sukha prapti. What are we all directed towards? Prapti, gaining of sukha, happiness. I said health and happiness, but really it's just happiness. You can be healthy and unhappy. But if you're happy, it doesn't matter if you're healthy or unhealthy. Sukha prapti, this is our nature. I didn't say Vivek's nature, Gita's nature, Rita's nature. I said our nature, including the squirrels and the flowers and the water bottle. That puts us all on the same team, correct? What are we fighting for? And so the sadhana is see others strengths. Because when we see others' strengths, we slow down the fighting. I think his name is Stephen Paddock, the shooter in Las Vegas. If he focused on seeing people as humans, he's also a human. Would he have done what he did? But he saw them all as different. He was focusing on the separation instead of the unity. How do you get to unity? Start focusing on people's strengths. And if you're focusing on people's strengths, you're also focusing on yours. Who hurts you the most? Yourself. I read a beautiful quote that said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're probably right. If you think you're weak, you're probably right. And if you think you're strong, you're probably right. In our second shloka, the high-level message was prema prapti. That everyone is being directed towards prema or love or oneness. Oneness. Today, I think we are going to play soccer. I think. And I like to put a prefix or a word to describe that soccer. Do you know what that word is? Mandatory. And when I say it like this, you know, we feel like I don't know how to play or I don't want to change my clothes. But after such a game, everyone feels much more comfortable with each other because everyone smells. See, there's that directive for oneness. And at a lower level, this means we have to change because right now we feel two-ness is natural when actually oneness is natural. In some of our casual time, I'll tell you about when I was hypnotized. Have any of you been hypnotized before? No one. Okay, a couple of us. So in our casual time, we'll talk about that. But in hypnotism, you go from natural to unnatural. In development, you go from unnatural to natural. So change. And our sadhana here was know others' needs. Do people need to be liked or do people need to be loved? Liking, there's still an element of separation. So that sense of separation is still there in liking. Because think, where have you heard the word like before? What is the Sanskrit word for like? Icha or? Raga. And where there's raga, what else is there? That's the nature of separation, isn't it? Dvaita. But loving, that's deeper than raga and dvesha. In other words, deeper than separation or duality. Swami Chinmayananda's teaching Advaita Vedanta to children. They can understand, but we have questions. We all, as people who are serving an organization focused on self-development, we all have to be bigger, learn to be bigger than likes and dislikes. If you try to serve with everyone liking you, you will be miserable. And that's such a common complexity in our life is, how do I get people to like me? Or these people don't like me. I've been writing the Evachara for 8 years now, coming up. And initially when people asked to unsubscribe from the Evachara, in my mind was, why? Right? This is free insights being shared with you. But now people still unsubscribe, but now I just take them off the list, but I don't ask why anymore. It used to be, why don't you like me and my writing? Now I think I've just understood that's the nature of society. The same goes with classes. When people don't rejoin a class, a study group, or a particular course, I used to think, why? But now I don't. And that, for me, I'm happy that I'm not shaken by these demons, raga and dvesha, as much. And that's what's being shared in this second letter, that don't play this game of likes. Making people want to like you, you wanting to like people. Nobody actually wants to play this game, but we've come to play this game. We do want to play with love. In our third shloka, we studied about viveka and vairagya. Give me the English word for viveka. Prioritization. This is Georgia. You put a sign up that says we're learning about discrimination, this ashram will be closed down. Prioritization is viveka. Don't tell me technical definitions. Tell me what this means to you. I also know how to read. But the reflecting is, it's a word that relates to you. And then what is vairagya? Following up or practicing what you're prioritizing. Practicing means you hold on to what you're prioritizing, and that means letting go of what you're not prioritizing. In other words, dedication and sacrifice, the low-level message, okay? It's not even that much lower. Important. Your nature, which we have to change towards, is important. Prioritize that. Practice that. And here the sadhana was vasana for vivikta. Two, not be swayed by public opinion, by public behavior. While you're at this retreat, you should be eating by yourself. When do you get to eat by yourself? You should be walking by yourself. When do you get to do that? And on and on and on. As soon as we leave here, back to public opinion, correct? Public behavior. And the more you wait to make this important, the more natural it will be to wait or procrastinate. If you go to the gym regularly and you skip day one, it's easier to skip day two, correct? You skip day one and two, skip the next week. Yes? That's why satsangs that happen like every 2 weeks, they're not very strong, because if you miss one of those classes, you've missed really the whole month. So we shouldn't wait. The more we wait, the more we will wait. Start. Start to make this important. And what happens when we start is we have this awareness that we're separate. We're scared of this. And so what do? We get into relationships, often mechanically. Could be our marriage. I'm supposed to get married. I'm supposed to have children. I'm supposed to be this kind of mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, and on and on and on. I'm supposed to have friends at work. I'm supposed to go to parties with my neighbor. See, even that mechanical relationship in our mind we're justifying as love, as oneness, when it's actually not. If our relationship is not growing in quality, it's not love then. So even with your parents, we should become more and more close to our parents, which shows love. Otherwise, it was a higher transactional relationship. You gave birth to me, you're getting older, so I send you money. But that oneness has to be there. Please be mindful of that. When we think of Valmikiji, his mechanical japa turned into meaningful japa, isn't it? It didn't stay mechanical. Bhagavan Rama is not coming anywhere where there's mechanics. He's looking for meaning. It's better to have one meaningful relationship than 10 mechanical relationships. But the path of least resistance, Preya, is have lots of relationships. Not okay in the big picture. And finally, in our fourth shloka, we studied dharma to swadharma. Dharma to swadharma. What does swa mean? Self. Dharma means that which integrates to the self. That which is connected to the self. That which is the nature of the self. Every one of us has the same swadharma. Same swadharma, which is existence, awareness, joy, infinity. But nobody has the same dharma. Dharma leads you to swadharma. Your dharma and your dharma and your dharma and my dharma is different. And as we get older, our dharma changes also, isn't it? What's Vyasa's dharma right now? Nothing. Just smile and make people like me happy. That's it. He doesn't even know that's his dharma. But once he goes to school, he will start to have dharma, no? And on and on and on. If what we're doing is not leading us to become more existent, that doesn't mean heavier. Existent means grateful to be alive, aware, less wasting, less losing, less forgetting, is helping us to be more cheerful, then we are engaged in dharma. We are discovering our calling. But if we're not growing towards our nature, if it's not dharma, it is adharma, isn't it? It's disintegrating, not integrating. I'm avoiding my calling, not discovering my calling. So now think, if you're 40, 45 years old, are you following your dharma in your errands, with your family, with your work, with your seva? We continue. What does vairagya mean? Practice. What is the technical definition of vairagya? Detachment or dispassion, right? How many of you have learned some sort of classical Indian dance system? How many of you have gone through your Ranga Pravesha? Okay. Now suppose you're about to begin your Ranga Pravesha. We rewind 50 years ago. And I'm invited to your Ranga Pravesha, and I tell you, make sure you dance dispassionately. You will think, what was I training for the last little while, correct? Vairagya, or dispassion, is a dispassion for getting. For, one word, getting. And the way to have a dispassion for getting is to have a passion for giving. So on your Ranga Pravesha, if I say have a dispassion for getting, that means give your best. And if you're giving your best, you're not interested in what you get, isn't it? This is felt as a love for life. That's why I want to wake up so there's more hours to give. So few people, I don't even know if I can count 10 people in my life who actually live by this passion for giving. The passion for getting is called sneha. Sneha, and please remember, many of you, your name may be Sneha or your child's name may be Sneha. We're studying this in a comparative way, okay? Comparative. If there's just Sneha, then interpret it as Prema. Okay? Don't go home and say, you know, I have to change my name now. When I was in Peoria for the first time, I was teaching the significance of our samskaras. And I said the fifth samskara is Namakarana, where you have to give your child a divine name. And afterwards, a couple came up to me very somber, very sad, saying, we never gave our kids these kinds of names. Should we change them? I said, how old are your kids? 15. You'll make them more sad then. I said, internally, you should remember that they're like this, whatever quality it may be, whatever divinity it may be. Sneha is love, but love for that which makes you more dependent. More dependent. Key word there is sneha equals dependence. Now be mindful. If your dependents depend on you, does that mean that you have to depend on your dependents? No. Virtues and vices are unilateral. If I'm mean to you, that doesn't mean you have to be mean to me. If I ask you for forgiveness but you don't forgive me, doesn't matter. I can't force you to forgive me. So we use this word dependent in a very biological, financial, social term. But our problem is we make that which is objective, subjective. You depend on me, so I think I should depend on you also. Sneha. Sneha is staying in our comfort zone. And the other form of love is called prema. Prema is also love, but it's love for the higher. Love for the independent, which helps us to become the same way. Someone who's dependent gives or gets? Gets. Someone who's independent gives or gets? Only an independent country can help another independent country. Poor example, generally, but you get my you get my point, correct? If I'm in a prison cell, only someone who's free can get me out of that prison cell, not from within the prison cell. Again, the need for the Guru Shishya Parampara. I'm stuck in Maya, you're stuck in Maya, we're going to get out of Maya together. We're going to be deeper into Maya then. Sneha and prema is not an action. It is a attitude. It is not an action. Me giving flowers to my wife can be sneha or prema. Externally, it looks like prema, but internally, it could be very much about sneha. I'm attached to her. Not an action. This is a attitude, and an attitude can be trained. Can be trained. This morning, I was listening to Hariprasad Chaurasya. Many of you on YouTube just play him sometimes. I'm told that he was a very accomplished flautist. I actually know nothing about music, but it sounds like I know. Yeah, flautist, you know, a fancy word. And he really wanted to learn from Ravi Shankar's wife, who he felt was more accomplished than him. And she said, no, you're already accomplished. But he was dedicated, he was determined. So she said, fine, but you have to learn in your weekend. So imagine Hariprasad Chaurasya is this strong over here, not this strong, this strong. He had to unlearn all of that and become the way that he is. Now, I'm sharing this because he was able to train himself, isn't it? To be like that. We can train ourselves to be more dispassionate in the meaningful way. To go from sneha to prema. I'm on shloka 5. Now that I spent 45 minutes reviewing yesterday, we can study new content. I say that in a sattvic teasing way. Okay? We're also so used to people being mean that we don't really appreciate that sattvic teasing anymore, isn't it? I'm actually going to Minneapolis next week, and I'm facilitating a workshop on resiliency for high school students and university students because we just find that they're not tough enough. The world is the same as it was 50 years ago in regards to being hard on us, but maybe our training is not making us tough enough. So we see a lot of fear, anxiety, depression. Later in the month, I'm facilitating a workshop on beyond bullying. Next month, I'm facilitating a workshop on finding positivity in negativity. It's required. So sattvic teasing, okay? Please chant after me. Pustakasta tu ya vidya.
Pustakasta tu ya vidya.
Parahastagatam dhanam. Karyakale samutpanne.
Karyakale samutpanne.
Nasa vidya na taddhanam.
Nasa vidya na taddhanam.
Together. Pustakastatu ya vidya. Parahastagatam dhanam. Karyakale samutpanne. Nasa vidya na taddhanam. Pustakasta tu ya vidya. Vidya that is contained in the pustaka, books. How many of you have read from the time I spoke yesterday to today any of these letters? Your hands are like this. You know, don't say it too confidently. And dhanam, wealth that is in parahasta. Hasta means hands, but whose hands? Someone else's hands. Karyakale samutpanne. When in time of need, karyakale, nasa vidya, there will be no knowledge, na tad dhanam. Knowledge in the book when you need it, where will it be? In the book. Wealth in someone's hand when you need it, where will it be? In someone else's hand. Yes? Tell me, which shloka do we always chant that relates to this shloka? Which shloka we always chant relates to this shloka?
Tejasvinavadhitamastu.
But that line particularly says, may we shine. May we be safe. May we enjoy. May we exert. May we shine here means apply. Apply what we are exposed to. Now, fascinating. Tell me, how many times have you chanted Om Sahana Vavtu? How many times? Take a guess. Right? Numerous times. I can't count how many times. How many times do we know the meaning? Mechanics. Okay, let's open this up. How many of you believe in God? How many of you worry? So you believe in God and worry. That makes a lot of sense, right? That came from the Upanishads, right? Believe in God and worry. We are believers, but we are not faithful. O ye of little faith. I think that's a common saying. How do you get from belief to faith? Because here, this person, the knowledge is in the book, the money is in someone's hands, they're believers. But how do you get to that faith? Faith means you can access it. You can benefit by it. How? How do you go from belief to faith? Trust is after faith. Shravanam, then mananam. Mananam takes us from belief to faith. Then naturally, how do you get from mananam to nididhyasanam? Sorry, how do you get from faith to trust? Through nididhyasanam, through practice. Here, what this shloka is teaching us is that we have to engage in more mananam, okay? But bringing this to a more relative level. Whatever we identify with, we are limited by. Whatever we identify with, that's what we're limited by. If I identify with this body, then pain is going to become very real to me, correct? When I'm asleep, do I identify with this body? So there's no pain in sleep. Sometimes you see images of some of our freedom fighters with their heads cut off and put on a plate. You've seen some of those images. And it seems extremely violent. But what that shows is that they're ready to give up their own pain for the sake of the nation, the sake of the Creator. See, they're not identified with that pain. They're identified with the nation, with Bhagavan. I think his name was Sukhdev, not Shukadev. I'm saying Sukhdev. He used to ask his friends to beat him. And they said, why? He said, so I'm ready for when the British do this to me. He wasn't identified with the body. He was identified with that which is higher, so the lower is ineffectual for such a person. For us, as we think about dispassion, as we think about what we're identified with, I want to bring out or elaborate on what sneha is. There's actually two categories of sneha. Active sneha, that's love for the lower, is called sadism. Sadism. Sadism is where you control others. We're talking about sneha. Sneha is about what do I get? Sadism is controlling others. And what is the other part of this then? Masochism. Masochism is being controlled by others. In both cases, there is no higher. Both are lower. We think of sadism or masochism in a sexual term, which may not apply to us, but at a love level, it most definitely does. Some of us, our strategy in life is to control others, isn't it? We surround ourselves by people who are yes people, people who praise us, which really shows our ego. There's no love there. And masochism is probably worse, isn't it? That I want to be like that. I want to be controlled. See, if you want to be controlled by the higher, it's called surrender. But to be controlled by the not higher, that's just masochism. That's just a passive sneha. This shloka, when it comes to finding your calling, is to be aware of, are you being controlled? Is your purpose just so low? Are you being sadistic? Is your purpose just a little bit higher? When really our purpose should be prema. Prema is where our identification is higher. Love and identification are synonyms. Everyone's with me? Love, advaita, identification, oneness, joy, all synonyms. Sadism, masochism is a type of sneha. It is identifying with the lower, so there's going to be a whole lot of turmoil then. Physical pain, mental pain, intellectual pain. But prema is where my love is for. It's growing. It's my family, then my community, then my society, then humanity, then divinity. That's the trajectory. And the higher I go, the less I'm affected by that which is lower. When you fly, and if there's turbulence at 20,000 feet, what do? They go higher, hopefully not lower. They go higher, correct? At 40,000 feet, the sun is always out, correct? We do that at an efficient level with an airplane, with our own lives. So we have masochism, higher than that is, and I say higher very loosely, is sadism. Then a different dimension itself is prema. Now, what is the evolution of prema? There's actually an evolution of that too. Bhakti. Bhakti tends to only be towards Bhagavan. Bhagavan, bhakti, bhakta. That's when you go past humanity to divinity. When you go past patriotism to religion. And that is the resting place. Until then, more growth is needed. Bringing this to a scripture we all know well, give me some names of Hanumanji. Anjaneya, Pavana Kumara, Pavana Sutta, Maruti, Paramavira. Lots, right? We say Mahavira Vikrama Bajarangi, Mahavira, which means someone who's great in five ways. I'm not getting into Hanuman Chalisa right now. Not getting into that. But Ravana was also great in many ways. In Vidya, he was Vira. In Rana, he was Vira. But Ravana's Virata, his greatness was always directed towards the lower. Hanumanji's Vira too, greater than Ravana, but his Vira is directed towards Bhagavan. So it's not Mahavira, he's known as Paramavira. So your Vira, greater than that is Mahavira, and greater than that is Paramavira. So for us, as we visualize our life, it's not all right to stop at Mahavira, or in this case, prema. There's no room for complacency when it comes to finding your calling. Your calling is on a sliding scale. My calling today, tomorrow it has to be clearer, stronger. Another word for that is yoga, no? I'm uniting with a better me tomorrow. How does Paramavira feel? We should ask ourselves every time we read about an enlightened person, what does it feel like? What does contemplation feel like? What does dispassion feel like? Guruji shares that so many times that people don't have feelings anymore. We sing bhajans with no feeling. We speak about scriptures, but no feeling. Just here's my recording. I'll sit here, you sit there. Right? There's no feeling in lots that we do. What this feels like is that you've now experienced the highest gain, and what that feels like is you no longer seek gain. Okay, I'm giving you one feeling. How do you know you're on from prema to bhakti? Someone who's engaged in this kind of love, someone who has this calling, and it's growing, their agenda is not on what do I gain. Because if you are experiencing the highest, what is there to gain? When you're experiencing Sat Chit Ananda, or even close to that, I'm not even saying enlightenment, even close to that, you begin to serve actively. You change your whole lifestyle so that you can serve more. I was just talking to a young lady who was talking about going to school more, and I said, fine, but I think you should study simply, live simply, and give your best. So one does not seek gain. One serves actively, and one ennobles all. I didn't say enable. You know, sometimes we are enablers. If you justify your position and I say, yeah, I think you're right, I'm enabling you, isn't it? But the word that Swami Chinmayananda uses is ennoble. Ennoble means you're becoming more inclusive. You're becoming more expansive. Such choice words. You ennoble all, not just those who are close to you. Serving all means even people who don't like you. Every ashram needs funds, correct? Yes? In the world, 80% of funds come from 20% of people, correct? Generally, to build a park, 20% of people will give funds. When it comes to religious matters, it's actually 90-10. 90% of funds will come from 10% of people. 90% of the work will get done by 10% of the people. Someone who ennobles all doesn't feel any negativity towards that 90%. That if I'm giving 90% of the time for this ashram, as an example, I am not bitter towards you. I don't judge you. I don't exclude you. That's what nobility means, inclusive. And I'm ennobling you also. So here is our sadhana for the fifth letter. The sadhana is think of thinking. Think of thinking. Now I know I have to give a bhasha on this too. These are sutras. Think of thinking. Okay. In our Vedanta course, Guruji Swami Tej Ramayananda shared many times, more important than what to think is how to think. But who actually thinks about how to think, isn't it? We just think and we think we're always right. That's the problem. Do you ever think you're wrong? We'll spend more time together. But if you think of thinking, we'll realize that we can refine our thinking from sneha to prema, from prema to bhakti, to not just keep knowledge in the book, not just wealth in another person's hand, to not be complacent that this is my calling only. Many of us are like that. I'm in this lucrative job. I live in this type of home. These are my friends. But is that your calling? If you don't think about it, of course that will be your calling. But if you think about it, maybe your calling can rise. And we'll take up one more letter also. I'm on the sixth letter. Then tomorrow you have to work harder because we have to cover six letters tomorrow. Page 48. Rupa Yauvana Sampanna.
Rupa Yauvana Sampanna.
Vishala Kula Sambhavaha.
Vidya-hina-na-shobhante.
Nirganda-kim-shuka-iva.
Nirganda
Together. Rupa Yauvana Sampanna Vishala Kula Sambhava Vidyahina Na Shobhante Nirganda Kim Shuka Iva. When your rupa, which is your form, is yuva, which means that you look young, you look healthy. When your kula, kula means family, friends, is vishala, you have a grand family, grand social circle. Vidyahina, but there's no knowledge. No knowledge of Brahman, no knowledge of joy, no knowledge of love, no knowledge of calling, no knowledge of growing. Na shobante. There's no shining, no application, no cheerfulness, no love for life. Like nirgandaha, which means not having fragrance, like the kimshuka. It's a type of flower, not important. When I was growing up and I used to visit people's homes as a kid, what did every Indian family tend to have on a counter of theirs? An altar, those are good homes. Plastic flowers, that's now. But back in the day, it used to be plastic fruits. You know, that this thick crystal bowl with all of these fake fruits. And I went from a distance, I've never seen a pear that green, because it's not a pear, that's why. And now I go to people's homes and there's fake flowers. You know, you see these beautiful orchids, but they're $3 from the dollar store over there. Do plastic fruit or glass fruits or plastic flowers serve any purpose? They don't shine. They're there, but they don't have that. Even looking at a healthy fruit is, it makes you feel good when you see a nice pomegranate, a pumpkin. Do you feel like that, or am I just making this up right now? I recently tasted grapes of the flavor of cotton candy. Have any of you tried that? Yes. Costco, or whatever you call it in the States, has that. And it tasted very good, but I felt it must be very unnatural too. I do want more, but you get my point, correct? Whereas if you see, have you ever been fresh fruit picking? Yes. So fun, so tasty. And then flowers, right? Look at how awesome. The fact that they fall makes it look nice. Right? So for us too, we may look handsome, beautiful. So that's here. We may have a lot of people around us. And the third part was, oh yeah, that's it. And we may have a lot of people around us. But if we don't know the meaning of the body, of relationships, then there's no shining. We're there. Period. It's sat is there, but there's no chit. Definitely not ananda. All of us are alive, but that doesn't mean that we are living. And the way Swami Tejramananda shares this, he says that just because you own a violin doesn't mean you're a violinist, correct? So many of us own sitars. That doesn't mean you're a sitarist. That's just a nice decoration. We are alive, but maybe not living. And what helps one go from being alive to living? Peace. This shloka is teaching us that only peace can bring peace. Only peace can bring peace. Here, body and family represents the lower three P's. What is the lowest P? Pleasure. Then, possession. Then, position. Do any of those make us shine? Only peace can bring peace. And this demands honesty. Everybody in this room has pleasure. We go on vacations, we have duvets, we have hot water, we have a whole drawer filled with pickles, right? You have a mango pickle, you have this pickle and that pickle. You have salad forks, and you have dining forks, and you have a formal dining room, and then you have a casual dining room, then you eat in the living room also. Everyone has possessions. Some people have more cars than they have drivers. We have two fridges in our home. We have more gold than Michael Phelps, right? Possessions. And positions also. So pleasure, possession, position. I have this many friends on Facebook. I'm part of this many committees. When I speak, people listen. When I go places, people stand up. For the person who is honest, they will know that these are all relative. But if you connect this back to the first shloka, do any of these bring happiness? Study William Gates. For decades, he's been the richest person in the world. And what is he doing with all of his money now? Giving it away, isn't it? Because he realized that by giving, dispassion is actually the way to get what you need. Not maybe get what you want, but get what you need, which is that happiness, which is that love. Demands honesty. It is those who are peaceful and loving that are remembered forever. You must have people in your family who are very loving. You remember them more than the people who are not loving, isn't it? What do we remember, or what do I remember Mahatma Gandhi for the most, is how he died. That even as he's being assassinated, he's still thinking about Bhagwan Rama. It's fine that he was an attorney. Some people don't even know that. It was fine that the British Empire stopped with his efforts, but he's known for his International Day of Nonviolence, Gandhi Jayanti, correct? So loving family, peaceful leaders, they're remembered forever. In this letter, Swami Chinmayananda shares so beautifully, every time that we experience love, it's a smile from the Lord. You know, you want to know how the Lord's smile looks like? When you get to experience that love, even if it's not directed towards you, but you get to see two other people engaged in that fusion of love. Go to the airport and you'll see that. You go to an international, not domestic, you go to an international airport, right? You can see both the joy and the sadness of that physical separation, isn't it? That's a smile from the Lord. We think the Lord's smile is only here, but he's trying to say it's also on the soccer field. Mandatory soccer. If you compare someone who acts for fulfillment with someone who acts out of fulfillment, what would the differences be? For fulfillment, there's always that trace of ego, correct? Out of fulfillment, there's still ego, but it's not that person's. It is the other person's ego that's still there. And so in this letter, our Gurudev is saying, give yourself. Now tell me, what are the three things that you can give to the world? Easiest to give is resources or dhana. And remember I said only 10% of people do that. Just think of the attrition. More difficult than that? Tana, which means time. Time. That far less people do that. And the most difficult? Mana or effort. If we want to find our calling, we have to start to give. And once you are tuned into that calling, the more you give, the more you will give, and the more you will be fulfilled. You're giving externally, but you're feeling internally. And I was just sharing with someone, when you start to give resources, time, and effort, you will start to move closer, as if closer to infinity. Where will your source be coming from then? It's not a finite source anymore. It's that cornucopia, that a horn of plenty. It just keeps coming and coming and coming. I met a family recently, so we're having a large fundraiser in Pittsburgh. Our aspiration is to raise $1 million on November 18th. And so I met a family, and I said, how much are you going to donate? And they said, $50,000, but really we're going to give $250,000. And they said that they found that the more that they give, the more that they're earning. Their investments are going up. They're getting bonuses. And they're not even seeking that. And they've been generous already in the past. And now they said, we just feel the more we give, the more we will get. And they're an example of Bhagavan, of the truth of what I'm sharing. When you give yourself, that means you're really giving up sneha, right? You'll only give yourself if it's prema. And what are you giving up by holding on to this? We're giving up sneha, correct? And then when that becomes natural, you give up the ego. And then that's called bhakti. Atma nivedanam. Last part of navada bhakti, correct? See how there's training. You go from shravanam to nivedanam. By giving, we start to give up limits, start to give up separation. Here is your sadhana. Give before getting. Before you ever get, give first. So how does this look like? Before you buy a pair of shoes, what do you have to do? Start, give a pair of shoes, like Toms. I think that's their policy. You buy one pair, they'll give another pair, right? Before you begin your meal, you should ensure that everyone else has food too. Before you sit down, make sure that other people have seats. When you're parking, if you can, if you're healthy, park far away. In Chinmay Mission Cleveland, so many, we have a culture now to park in the farthest spot so they get more steps. You know, and that's a, it's a fine idea. We fight for the closest spot. It says compact car, we still park our SUV there. So give before getting. We'll slowly transition from acting for fulfillment to acting out of fulfillment. Then we won't be those fake pears, those fake orchids. We will feel fresh. And tomorrow I'll talk to you about how your transformation is, will be the most powerful tool to transform others. Really, that's why you've come to this retreat, correct? I know. You've come here to learn strategies on changing others, which is why I'm leaving that till tomorrow. Yesterday, focus on you. Today, focus on you more. Tomorrow, just to please you, we'll talk about, and talk about others. It's like you're very cheap with food, but you give mitai at the end. Come back again, but really don't come back again. Om Purnamadav Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om. I'm going to open my eyes in 10 seconds.